This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast, and I am your host, Eric Rivera, like it says right there on the screen. If you guys are watching right now on YouTube, that is where you can find the podcast, the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you guys are listening on the audio version, audio only version of the podcast, well, you probably found us wherever you download your favorite podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We are available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. We are everywhere. So thank you for joining us today for another Real Madrid podcast. Crazy game over the weekend. We'll get into that in just a minute. Of course, right there on the screen, you can see the ticker. And the ticker, of course, is showing you all the social media. So if you are watching the video, you can see the social media there on the bottom of the screen. But just in case you're not listening, you're not watching it, social media, check us out on Twitter, Y Nada Más Podcast. That's where I am most active. You can also check us out at Y Nada Más Podcast on Facebook and at YNM Podcast on Instagram. In addition to that, you can check us out also at ynadamas.net. That is our main website. And for any inquiries, we're still looking for a couple of writers as well. So you can check us out and hit us up at info@ynadamas.net. That is where you can find us right now for that. You know, I've got a couple of people that have written us, and we are in the process of answering people back. So if you haven't gotten to you yet, don't worry, we will answer you back soon. But thank you to everybody that's been interested. Thank you to everybody that's been, you know, hitting us up, supporting the podcast. And, you know, we really appreciate the love. And, you know, if you're interacting with me on Twitter, that is me, that is myself on Twitter, is where I'm most active. Like I said, Y Nada Más Podcast. And it's been a crazy weekend. I always say that I don't want to make this podcast too long. And then I end up rambling on for like an hour. And, you know, hit me up. Let me know if, you know, in the comments, or hit me up via DM if I follow you or whatever, both on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter. Hit us up and let us know if you think the podcast is too long or whatever. I'm making actually shorter audios. So just to kind of let you guys know, I'm making shorter audios every single day. I am making shorter audios of kind of the news and rumors of the day, per se, that you can find basically coming out of Spain, out of publications like Diario AS, Diario Marca, Mundo Deportivo, Bernabéu Digital, you know, pretty much everywhere, Diario Madridista, pretty much everything that's being said about Madrid. You know, we also check out El Chiringuito. My good friend and I, Jota Real Madrid, who has his own channel, which covers all Real Madrid news in Spanish. Him and I linked up, and we've been working on Real Madrid Hub, and I am helping him with the English news there on Real Madrid Hub, and he chimes in every once in a while as well. So we are doing things daily there, so you can check us out there. So on YouTube, if you want to see the video version of this podcast, you can check it out at Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. If you want to see the shorter videos that we're doing, that's everyday news of Real Madrid, you want to keep up to date with that, subscribe also to Real Madrid Hub on YouTube as well. And that is where you can find both my friend Jota Real Madrid and myself there. You know, just doing daily news, essentially, of everything that's kind of being said. And, you know, what else can we say? I mean, everything that's being said has been a roller coaster of emotions, essentially, for Madridistas. Is Mbappe coming? Is he not coming? Are we negotiating with Altani? Are we negotiating with, you know, Al-Khelaifi? Is Mbappe going to come or not? Are we going to do a 180 and pay for Haaland? I mean, all sorts of things have been said at this point. You know, I'm usually the optimist. You know, I hope he comes and I hope something does happen, but there's only about what, like seven or eight days until the end of the transfer window. So Am I going to hold my breath about it? No. Do I think we have a team that we can essentially do something with? Honestly, I think that we have a team this season that is looking stronger than I would have anticipated. I mean, you know, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take, especially now we're seeing, especially after the Levante game, we're seeing that defensively is, I think, where we're going to be a little bit, we're going to get a little bit worried there. And there's going to be heart attacks. And, you know, that Levante wasn't going to be the first one, guys. You know, that's all I can say there. But, you know, will Mbappe solve the problem that we currently have defensively? Probably not. You know, I think in getting goals isn't going to be the issue now. I'm seeing that some of the things are pointing in the direction that goals is not going to be the problem this season. Defensively is going to be the problem this season. So what to do with the no signing of Mbappe or whoever ends up coming? You just got to stay tuned. I mean, I don't even know at this point. There's rumors. The latest rumors, and this is Tuesday, August 24th, the latest rumors are that PSG has supposedly said they will negotiate now. There's rumors coming out that they will negotiate with Real Madrid. So, I don't know. Do we keep our hopes up? I think we just have to focus on the task at hand. And me, for one, I am, like I said, I'm always the optimistic Madridista. I'm not the self-hating Madridista. If you guys are coming here to hear, like, me crap on players and things like that, that's kind of not who I am, essentially. It's very difficult for me because I am a Madridista through and through. Actually, I got this really cool little thing today. My Madrid card came through. So see this thing here? It says Madridista. I got my little, my Madridista card in the mail, my renewal essentially. And then it came with this cool little patch here that I can put on a shirt or something, you know, just to show everybody what a Madridista I am. If the jerseys and posters and everything in the back and the hat that I'm wearing weren't enough. And the fact that if you go to my office, it's just as crazy as this. You know, my office at work has a Madridista flag, has a sign of Santiago Bernabeu, you know, a mouse pad that is Real Madrid. Essentially, Real Madrid is all over my office as well. So there's no secret what team I go for, essentially. So Levante, and what we're going to talk about today is, I guess, about that. You know, no, the transfer rumor thing is already been done. And that's why I say I think the podcast will be a little bit shorter unless I drag things out. I'm feeling kind of under the weather, so if I'm kind of rambling on, sorry about that, guys. I'm feeling kind of under the weather. It's not COVID. I already got a test for COVID, so thankfully it's not that. Kids are back in school, and one of my kids is heading to, you know, preschool. And when that happens, they always end up bringing all sorts of sickness back to the house because, you know, kids are just getting sick all the time. And, you know, and now if COVID isn't one of the things we got to worry about, it's just everyday colds and flus and all sorts of other crap. So I picked up something from my smallest son, and I'm just, you know, feeling a little bit congested, and that's about it. I couldn't go into work today because essentially, even if you have a little bit of symptoms, they're like, nah, dude, just stay home. So what to say about Levante? It was an exciting game. I mean, that's the one thing I wanted to say. It was an exciting game. I was on the edge of your seat stuff. Exciting, crazy, chaotic football for the last game. I mean, well, the last game on Sunday, essentially. You know, and everything was pointing in the direction. And the thing is, you know, exciting for everyone that wasn't a Madridista, I think, because if you hate on Madrid, it was exciting for you because you kind of thought we were going to drop the 3 points. If you were a Madridista, it was heart-wrenching because it looked in the beginning, you know, anyway, it was heart-wrenching. And then at the end, we can walk away a little bit happy with it. But as Vinicius so eloquently said, and I think he did correctly say it, and I like his attitude as of late, Vinicius did say that, you know, they asked him, is 1 point enough? And he said, one point for Real Madrid is never enough. You know, we have to get points. We have to get all the points. We have to get, you know, 3 and 3 and 3. That's the goal of Real Madrid. Real Madrid is never one to be happy with a 1 point game, or essentially, you know, a 1 point, getting 1 point from the game. So, you know, and it was well said. I mean, we deserved so much more from that game. Everything points in the direction of just complete defensive. And you know what? I mean, I was watching the highlights before the game, you know, before I jumped on the podcast here. And I want to say, you know, I mean, yes, there was defensive. So there was defensive lapses for sure, especially on the second goal. Especially on the second goal where there was absolutely no coverage for Campagna. He just pretty much danced into the, he could have breakdanced into the penalty box and nobody would have seen him. He just came in and then, you know, had a beautiful shot on goal, which Thibaut Courtois would never been able to save, and scored that beautiful second goal. The first goal was crazy because it was essentially from kickoff almost, or if it was from kickoff, I believe, in the second half, and it's like everybody in Madrid was just watching the ball as they went by. Militao made an attempt, so I will give that to him. He made an attempt on the ball that Morales had. The ball, essentially he takes the ball away from him, but the ball bounces favorably to Melero, who then, you know, slots it right through to Roger, and Roger is the one who scores the goal. So that first one was a little bit of, I mean, it was a little bit unlucky, but everybody was just sitting there watching what was going on, and you know, so it was the fault of the whole team essentially being there and kind of just ball watching, you know. And then the third goal, you again, everyone gets caught ball watching, and essentially Nacho misses the header. The header hits Alaba in the face, and basically that sets it up for I think it's Robert something. It was the one who scored. Robert something scored the goal for Levante in the third goal. So it was really just like mistake. How would I say? You know, and that's where I think it is the best terminology to use is what Ancelotti used and so many other people used. Butragueño also mentioned it after the game. Even Vinicius said it was a lack of concentration. A lack of concentration throughout the entire defense. And then I would say, you know, the midfield as well. I don't know if Casemiro, besides the beautiful pass that he put in to Vinicius, you know, I just don't know. I mean, you could tell lacking Luka Modric, lacking, I think, the level-headedness of Modric, the level-headedness of Toni Kroos in that midfield, you know, some of those mistakes are going to happen. Also, Lucas Vazquez as a right back is definitely, of course, just a stopgap for, you know, who should really be our right back. Because as soon as Carvajal jumps in, you see what it is, an absolute difference. That hustle, you know, for the first goal that Vinicius scored, that hustle, to me, not even more so than the Casemiro pass. I love the Casemiro pass, of course. But in the second goal, the lead up to that goal is absolutely beautiful because it is a fight by Dani Carvajal to recover the ball. I forgot who he recovers it from. So, I'm, you know, from Levante. But it's a fight for him to recover the ball basically in our own area, basically in our own final third. Recovers the ball, fights for it, gets it out, passes it to Casemiro. Casemiro is the one who puts in slots in the pass to a blistering Vinicius who's just running, gunning past the entire back line of Levante. And Vinicius, you know, who is showing definitely that he is concentrated, that he is maturing. His finishing is coming together, and that is once again something that if he continues to do so, he's going to be very dangerous and he's going to be very good for us. He's already scored 3 goals in 2 games, which is awesome considering the last time, last season, the only person really scoring goals for us was Benzema. So it's absolutely fantastic that Vinicius is getting, you know, is getting these goals and getting his confidence up. But yeah, that fight from Carvajal, that is what he brings to the game. That is what a legit right back brings to the game. Somebody the other day said on Twitter, and I don't know who it is, but I mean, I was looking through, you know, all the tweets and stuff, and, you know, people are dropping knowledge. People are dropping little, you know, good nuggets, good observations. And one of the things that was said was, you know, Lucas Vázquez was brought on as a stopgap. I mean, he's essentially more of a right winger. He did his job good in last season. He did well also replacing an Asensio that was not showing up whatsoever, a Rodrigo that was injured. But we'll have to see what's gonna happen this season, because if Carvajal is doing well, if Bale is playing up to par and is essentially the starter, where does that leave Vázquez? That's gonna leave Vázquez on the bench essentially. And at this point, I mean, honestly, we could see that our back line is going to be Ferland, Mendy, Alaba, Nacho. I mean, honestly, Militao. I really like Militao, and I think he's solid, but he is making some mistakes here at the beginning of the season. Could be because it's still, you know, early on in the season. He came later to training than some of the other players. Vinicius hit the ground running. Casemiro, I still feel is not all yet there. He's not as solid as I've seen him before, but he's also not surrounded by the guys that's usually are the guys that kind of flank him and help him out in the midfield, which are Modric and Kroos. So, but I feel like Militao still, at least in this season, hasn't recovered that form that he was showing at the end of last season. Nacho too, you know, I think they're still, you know, it is getting scored on three times by Levante, you know, conceding three goals. You know, I hate to say it, but essentially, is this the cause? I mean, or is this the result? Sorry, not the cause. Is this the result from, of course, letting go of your two best center backs, which are, of course, Sergio Ramos and Varane? Yeah, I think we're going to see some defensive mistakes because not only are those guys not here anymore, but the leadership and the experience, aside from Nacho, of course, the leadership and the experience isn't quite there the way it has been in the past. You know, I don't think anybody can replace Sergio Ramos leadership-wise on this team currently. I don't think it's going to – I think the only one who could probably do it is in our midfield. The likes of Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro are probably the guys that I feel are the most have the strongest personalities in order to sort of get everybody playing and being on the same wavelength. I really like Alaba a lot too, because if you see Alaba's body language, Alaba's movement and his body language during the game is he's kind of always scoping things out and making sure he's not leaving, or at least he's always looking back and he's always trying to track back. He's always trying to make sure that even if he ventures forward, which he's usually always going to do, that he looks back and makes sure that either somebody is covering the spot where he is or that he's going to have enough time to track back and catch whoever is going to be going forward from the other team. So I really like how he's kind of, you see that awareness. He's always kind of looking around. We saw that in the first half. The first half of the Levante game, after they scored the first goal, after Real Madrid scored the first goal, I really thought, and so did many of us that were on Twitter speaking to each other and tweeting about it, was I thought this was going to be a landslide of a game where we were essentially going to take over, because Isco looked fantastic. Definitely, I think, taking advantage of the fact that Carlo Ancelotti is trying to show some more faith, and the fact that, you know, there is a lot of reports that he really worked hard this summer to get him back into shape and is trying to get back into his best shape possible. That will reap rewards, and we did see those rewards with Isco in this game. Does that mean he's going to be a starter? I don't think he's going to take away spots from Kroos or Modric this season. But, you know, he is definitely going to be, if we are missing some more creativity, he could definitely be somebody that you're going to add there if we need somebody to hold up to play a little bit better and make quick passes and be creative in order to move the ball forward. That can be the guy that can do it and pick up the slack after, let's say, our midfielders, if our midfielders are not available in the likes of Kroos and Modric. But I don't see him, even if at his best, is he going to be taking away those positions from Modric and Kroos unless these guys have completely terrible games this season. So he was fantastic in the first half. Alaba was fantastic in the first half. Benzema, Bale scored the goal, of course. Alaba was the one who basically made the pass to Benzema to put him through, and then Benzema, you know, slots it back, pulls it back for Bale to score the goal. So in the first half, it was just absolute control. They looked devastating. They looked like Levante didn't have any answers. Levante didn't even have any, I don't think had any shots on goal in the first half. It was absolute domination by Real Madrid. That the only thing that was a detriment at that point was that we hadn't scored. I mean, the only thing that surprised anybody at that point was that we hadn't scored and gone up on the scoreline, by more than one goal. We were essentially winning 1-0, but we kept on getting shots on goal. We kept, Bale shot, had a rocket of a shot from outside, from a free kick that barely missed, and then besides that, there was a desire by the players to try and score. Valverde tried to, take some shots at the goal, and they were blocked. There were a couple passes that went awry where we could have essentially scored the goals to go ahead, and I think been more comfortable in the second half. And I think really in a lot of ways, if we would have gotten that two-goal cushion, maybe those goals wouldn't have happened in the second half from Levante, but also maybe there wouldn't be a fight left in Levante if we had gone two goals up and they were feeling as dominated as they were. But the fact that we sort of started the game the second half so lackluster that we started falling asleep, we started the second half essentially asleep, because that's how they scored the goal. And once you score a goal and Levante is 1-1, then they know it's now, they're playing in their stadium, they know it's essentially in their hands to be able to score another one. Madrid is still asleep. Madrid is still in shock from that first goal. We're trying to find our bearings, and then the second goal falls, So at that point, it was really a boost of confidence, a boost of adrenaline, a boost of morale for Levante to basically try to take it to us as much as they could. And they played the game like there was nothing to lose. And that is how they played. That is how they played. And then Real Madrid, in a lot of ways, it was Real Madrid playing Levante's game. We essentially got sucked into playing their game of going back and forth, throwing caution to the wind and going and just playing attacking football, which made for a great match for everyone to watch, but was just absolute insanity because we're trying to get back into the game. We're obviously leaving spaces open to get back into the game. They're exploiting those spaces. They almost scored a fourth goal, which would have put the game 4-2. And if that would have happened, we would have never gotten back into the game. And we were lucky that that didn't happen because the ball hit the post. But it's kind of like, when in a boxing match, you got to fight the opponent. You fight your fight. You don't fight the opponent's fight. If the guy's a slugger and he likes to, bang it out, and you're a technical fighter, then you're not going to go in there and try to bang it out with somebody who's really good, has a solid chin and has knockout power. You're not just going to stand there in the pocket and take a shot. Now, for you guys that don't understand what the hell I'm saying right now, I always bring things back to the fighting background that I had because I did fight in back in the day. So essentially, you got to play to your strengths, you know? And what happens here is we get sucked into playing the other guy's game, playing the other team's game. And that's what happened. So they're scoring on us and we're playing catch up. And they knew that. They knew that and they were going after it. And the only thing that really turned the game on its head and the only thing that saved us in this regard was the fact that Vinicius came on and basically looked, just basically changed the game because his speed, his confidence, his incisive runs, everything that he was doing was perfect. You know, he did everything he needed to do and he did it correctly. That's all there really is. You know, that is what he did. That's how we got out of the bind. Because I honestly, I mean, I understand bringing on Vinicius, but I don't know why if we were playing well, you know, you would take out, you know, if you would take out Bale. I don't know. I don't understand the idea behind taking out Bale and Isco if they were playing well, but. You know, it is what it is, and it ended up changing things. But because I was just worried, you know, if you take out Bale, and you know, the guys were working together well. I mean, Eden Hazard, yeah, I could see why they took him out and put in Vinicius, and of course, Vinicius was the one who made the difference. But I guess I'm still, how would I say? The reason I'm saying that is because I'm still. I'm still worried because of what happened last season that essentially now we're getting goals from our wingers, which is something that I argued in the last season during pretty much every podcast, is that we just had no goals from our wingers. Vinicius wasn't scoring. Marcos Asensio wasn't scoring. Rodrigo wasn't scoring. And Eden Hazard was, of course, injured. So we weren't getting anything from our wingers. You know, nobody was giving goals there. And the only one that was able to assist us in getting goals was Benzema, who, of course, is our star striker. But besides that, we had Casemiro and Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos is gone, so he's not going to be the guy to do it. Casemiro, of course, that's not his job entirely for him to, you know, be the second scorer in the game, you know, the second goal scorer on the team. He just stepped up when he needed to. But we needed goals from our wingers, and we're starting to get it now. But when you take off, you know, for me, I guess I still have that PTSD, you know, and PTSD, which is like, I still have that trauma that essentially like, oh no, you just took out Hazard and Bale, which were playing pretty decently and have looked pretty good when they're teamed up with Benzema. And now you're putting in Vinicius and Rodrigo that haven't really given us much in the last season. What's going on? And it's a different season, guys. It's a different season. Rodrigo is fit. He's looking good. Vinicius is definitely looking solid. Can he score another goal in the next game? Can he get four goals in three games or more? Who knows? But he's looking good. You know, he's looking good, and he's looking the guy's a hard worker. What can you say? I mean, I think it's important to for Madridistas to look at things like that, and not the whole Vinicius Ballon d'Or and you know, all that kind of stuff. But that is, you know, it's a joke and a meme, and of course all that stuff at this point. But I like the idea of calling him Vinicius if he does, you know, get his finishing up. It is something that we want to see from him. And for those of us that are fans of the guy, that's kind of what we're pulling for, because we essentially want to see him get the best. Because the talent is there. You could see it. What he's not there is what was not there was the finishing. But I'm seeing a lot more maturity from him. And I'm seeing, I don't know if it's a physical thing. I don't know if I'm just looking at it differently, but I'm feeling like, I don't know if physically he looks stronger. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, or if it's just me seeing things. I don't know if physically he looks stronger, if he looks a little bit bigger, if he's maybe put on some mass. I don't know, but he looks stronger. He looks every bit as quick as always. Maybe it's the, what do you call that haircut? It's not a mullet. It's a mohawk, right? Maybe it's the mohawk. You know, we always talk about like noodle hair Ronaldo and Isco with, you know, with his long hair was terrible, but now with his short hair, Isco is where it's at. you know, and people would always make jokes about like Messi with a beard was better than Messi without a beard. So, you know, like these kind of jokes. But maybe it is the power of the Mohawk. Maybe it is. But whatever it is, man, I hope he continues it because I'm loving it. And that is the one thing that we can take away from that game that was a that for me was a positive. But in the end, it's just like it's I'm happy that we're getting goals essentially from the wingers now. I'm happy that it's not just Benzema, the one that has to score everything. You know, and I will say this, much to the chagrin of my friend, the happy Madridista, who is not much of a Jovic fan. You know, I don't know, man. I saw some good stuff from Jovic. I mean, if he would have scored, I was gutted that he didn't score that goal. You know, that header, right? Point blank range. And you know, Aitor was able to save it. That goal would have done such good things for Jovic, man. I mean, that goal right there, I think would have changed. He needs that goal. He needs to score like a legit goal and get that, you know. And he did play well. And honestly, we got robbed of a penalty because I don't care what you guys say. There's pictures of that thing, man. They were grabbing up all on Jovic, man. There was not to joke around about it, but that looked like there was some points that looked like assault, man. You know, they were grabbing his nutsack and everything, trying to bring him down, and they couldn't bring. And that's the other thing that I like about Jovic, not his nutsack, but the fact that he was so hard to bring down by the defenders, man. He was just solid. You know, he just was a tank. It took like three guys to bring him down. You would think it was the NFL, and I just don't know how it wasn't a penalty. You know. It looked like they were holding him back, grabbing his shirt. They were doing all sorts of things to bring him down. And how was that not a penalty? I don't know. I mean, for me, that maybe I was biased. Maybe I need to look at it again, but it looked like a penalty to me. And I think it should have been, but whatever, you know, I like what I'm seeing. And if that's the kind of thing that he can bring, if he can continue to bring sort of that, those flashes that he did, in this game, and look, those positives that were there in this game, you know, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Ancelotti has already said one of the things that I kind of, you know, that struck me from the press conference with Ancelotti was he said that essentially that the same team that starts is not going to be the same team that finishes, obviously, because you're making, you know, you're making substitutions. But one thing that he said was that he was planning, at least, or I could have heard it wrong, but it seems like the translation was essentially, I mean, the translation that I got from it is essentially that he is going to use all five subs in every game. He is going to take advantage of using those five subs to get fresh legs into the game. So what's interesting to me on that is, you know, Zidane was a lot of times criticized for not using his subs until very late in the game, not using all of the subs. You know, he was criticized for not bringing them people on sooner, you know, that kind of thing, where basically, you know, just not using the opportunities he had to use the players that he had on the bench. Not that there were many during last season, of course, but it was very interesting to me that he's going to be doing that. It's a departure very much from kind of Zidane's style. And although Ancelotti used to not be like that either, Ancelotti used to not be somebody who depended. And we're kind of seeing that now too, because Ancelotti was somebody who was not known for giving a lot of youth players chances. And we're seeing that we haven't seen Miguel Gutierrez. We haven't seen Antonio Blanco, and we haven't seen Sergio Arribas since the season started. We haven't seen any of those three guys really feature at any point in these games. So is he going to use them? Who knows? But at this point, it doesn't seem like he's interested in using those guys, which is something that's very much Ancelotti. I remember there was criticisms about him not playing some of the youth talent we had back when he was Real Madrid coach. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But it would be a shame not to use guys like Miguel Gutierrez and Antonio Blanco if the option arised, you know, especially considering, you know, Martin Odegaard is gone now, and our midfield is, you know, right now you don't have Modric, you don't have, well, Modric will most likely play against Betis, hopefully. Gross is still going to be out until probably end of was a few more weeks, I guess. He's supposed to be out until, what, September? So we'll have to see what's going to happen with that. But those are opportunities to use Blanco, and Blanco has shown to be a level-headed player even at his young age. So I would love to see him being used more. But we'll have to see if Ancelotti's going to do that. But once again, I think, you know, to sum it all up, the issues are going to lie. That was just something I took out of the press conference that kind of caught my attention. It's kind of a departure, like I said, from what Zidane did. But the other thing, I guess, is really just the defensive lapses. We can't continue to have those. I forgot who was the guy from ESPN FC. Forgot his name. Scottish guy. Don't really like him much. Criticizes a lot, and I don't even know. Like, you know, he did say, though, and I have to kind of, like, I was pissed when he was saying it, like, after the first game, really, man. He was saying that Real Madrid isn't going to win anything with this defense. They're not going to win anything with this defense playing like that. That I would agree with him. We can't be playing like that defensively because, you know, it's not going to be as easy to score goals on teams that are stronger than Levante. Levante always gives us problems, that's true, but, you know, we're going to face Real Betis next weekend, and, you know, Villa Marina is not an easy team, not a easy stadium to play in. They've gave us headaches in the past. They are not a Levante. They are a stronger team than the Levante. And we can't be having those defensive lapses against teams like that. We can't have them against teams. We can't have them at all, really. Because these games where you, you know, where you, yes, these, we can't drop points like this. Because those points against these teams, like Levante, last season, those were the games that cost us. Those were the games that cost us big. We lost games or tied games against the likes of Cadiz, against the likes of Alaves, Levante, you know, Betis, Sociedad, you know. And these are teams that we shouldn't have been. I mean, not to say Sociedad and Betis could always give us a headache. But, you know, teams like Levante, teams like Deportivo Alaves, teams like oh, man, was it another team that tied us, I think, last season? Was it Elche that we, like, 0-0? Osasuna, you know, like, these teams that we tied, like, 0-0, these teams shouldn't be the ones that are giving us problems, guys, you know? Not to say that that's what Levante is, because Levante is a better team. I've always been a fan, you know, believe it or not. I've always liked Morales. I like him. I don't know. He's a talented player. El Comandante, they call him. I think he's a great player, and I've always liked him. So, Levante is not an easy team either, and they've given us trouble in the past. But we have to make sure that we can beat teams like them that are lower and more mid table, and essentially get those points against them, because the points against these other teams this season are not going to be guaranteed. Still, I mean, Barcelona is still going to have a fight in them. Atletico and Sevilla are definitely going to have a fight in them. Atletico right now is and Sevilla is the one leading the league right now at this point. They're the two teams that got all 6 points are Atletico and Sevilla, and followed by us and Barcelona. So we need to get these points. We can't be dropping these stupid, you know, we can't drop points because of just bad defense or lax defending, you know, lax defending, loss of concentration. You know, we just can't. And so that's really what I take away from that game. I mean, those are my observations, from that game. And I just hope that we continue to see an evolution. I mean, continue to see an evolution, obviously, attacking-wise, but we need to see an evolution defensive-wise. We need these guys. We need Nacho and Militao to turn on whatever switch they hit at the end of last season. That needs to come back. Having Carvajal is obviously going to be a huge benefit. We already saw that when he got those minutes in this game, it made a huge difference, and it's a completely different player to have back there. Getting Mendy back would also help, because that would push Alaba more to center back, or either to center back or have him as a left back and Mendy as a center back, which is, you know, what we've been hearing that Ancelotti wants to do. I'm interested in seeing how that would happen, because I think Mendy is more solid defensively than he is attacking. Alaba is more so, he's more of an attacking threat as well. He's as good attacking as he is defending. I think Alaba can benefit us a lot going forward, and Mendy could do a lot staying back with the likes of Nacho or Militao. So we have to see how that's going to play out and what's going to end up being the back line that Ancelotti is going to get fixated on, focused on, locked in, whatever you want to call it. That is really where we're going to want to see. That's really what I'm hoping to see now. It has to improve. It has to improve. But I'm not the type of person that's going to say, you know, the game was a terrible game. I was excited. It was a good game. It was an exciting game. You know, it kept me on the edge of my seat for the wrong reasons. But, you know, Real Madrid does have a tendency to start out slow. We've always done this in the past. We start out slow, lowering the points, and then go and do better as the season goes on. While Barcelona has always been kind of the one that starts off strong and then sort of fades out towards the end. So it's going to be that same. It seems like that. We just need to work out these cobwebs. It's still two games into the season, but it's not something you want to have to continue saying. You know, you don't want to just keep on saying, oh, you know, it's only the first game, it's only the second game of the season, it's only the third game. And then before you know it, we're 15 games in or 16 games in and the team hasn't found its way yet. Not saying that that's going to happen, but that's the type of mentality that we can't get complacent in, where it's kind of like, you know, we're just trying to work things out. But I think as they gel, because we saw them gel in the first half, as the team gels and gets meshes together well and gets confident with one another and the chemistry gets better, I think we will start seeing this team continue on this same vein of scoring and then hopefully scoring more goals, but then not conceding as much. And that is where that's what's going to help us in the long run. I wouldn't say, you know, usually when the team loses, I use this sound, which is the hostia sound.
Hostia.
And it's not quite that, but it's not quite a this.
Vamos, Madrid!
So it's not quite a celebration. I think the only thing right now is that the team, I would say for Vinicius' performance and maybe Hazard, I'm sorry, Vinicius' performance and maybe Alaba, Benzema's goals, of course, Carvajal. You know, I would probably give them a healthy round of applause. But that's about it. You know, that's the only thing I think they get right now. But our support is always with them. So, you know, I'm not gonna crap on them any more than that. I think they're gonna learn those lessons, and we just got to keep on going with them. And then, I guess to sum this up, because I said I didn't want to keep this one long, and it's already been 45 minutes, which I think is good enough for you guys today, at least, because there's not other news coming in. When it comes to Mbappe, well, I don't know what's gonna happen. Is he going to come in? Definitely what we're seeing is if he comes in, he's not going to solve all our problems, because defensively, he's not going to solve our problems. But the team would definitely look really nice with him on it, huh? So we'll have to see what's going to happen with that whole thing, that whole fiasco that's going on there. And if he ends up coming or not. I mean, it's all winding up to be a very interesting 2022, though. I mean, if he does come here on a free, and then apparently Haaland comes, and and you know, those opportunities, and there's a bunch of players that are going to be without a contract in 2022. So who else, who knows who else we can get? Or, you know, we would have to snatch them on from away from PSG and their oil money. But we'll have to try. But you know what it is you know, as I mentioned in the last podcast, that Guti had that saying, which was, I'd rather play 30 minutes for Real Madrid than 90 minutes for any other team. I don't know if it was, 30. Did he say 30 or 60?
Was it 30 or 60?
I think it was 30, whatever. But it was 30 minutes for Real Madrid than 90 minutes with any other team. It's true, man. I mean, people keep asking, oh, you know, why do, there was this guy, I posted it on Twitter the other day. This guy, I guess he does a podcast similar to mine for Manchester United. And he's always like, oh, you know, man, for as long as I've known, people always want to go to Real Madrid. People always want to go to Real Madrid. And even if Real Madrid is shit right now, which is what he said we are right now, people still want to go there. And he's like, I just don't get it. Now, you know, I have Mbappe, who wants to go there. Like, why is it always Real Madrid? And, you know, he's bitching about it. And it's because, dude, it's Real Madrid, man. It's Real Madrid. There's no easier explanation than the fact that it's Real Madrid, 13 Champions Leagues, man. People want to be here. It's a storied club. It's a club with a lot of history, you know. I mean, they're a team. I mean, Manchester United has its own history, too. But Real Madrid is Real Madrid, man. You know, I think you answered your own question there. You know, why is it always Real Madrid? Yeah, why is it always Real Madrid? Think about it. Why? Because they're fucking good, man. So, you know, that was something I was just, that's why he wants to come here. And it's shaping up to be an interesting 2022. And you know, PSG might have all the money in the world, but money doesn't buy titles. Money doesn't buy history. You know, money doesn't purchase a history of winning. You know, you can throw all the money in the world at the problem, and Real Madrid is still going to have those 13 trophies in their trophy case. You know, they're still going to have a legacy of winners. They're still going to have a legacy of being one of the most dominant teams in Europe. And no matter PSG throwing all this money at it, and you know, I never had a problem with PSG, but I'm starting to really dislike it now, where it's like, you know, you're just trying to buy up everybody because you're so hell-bent on getting a Champions League win. And you know what? I feel like honestly, guys, it's going to fall flat. They're going to fall flat on their face. And I feel bad. I feel bad for everybody that's on that team that essentially wants to get a Champions League and has been fighting for one. You know, I just feel like when you do things like that, it doesn't always work out for you. You know, when you build these super teams, they don't always work out for you, you know? And even if they do, it's not like they're going to win 13 Champions Leagues in a row. You know, that type of dominance, even, you know, from year to year is not sustainable. It's taken years for Real Madrid to amass the titles that they've had. So, I wish Sergio Ramos nothing but the best, except for when he plays us. You know, I like Messi. I like Messi as a player. I just didn't like the fact that he plays for Barcelona. Now that he's at PSG, I'm interested in seeing how he'll play, you know. At PSG, of course, I want to beat them when we play them in the Champions League. You know, it's the same way. I love Cristiano Ronaldo, but if we play Juventus in the Champions League, I don't want Cristiano to win. You know, I want Real Madrid to win. You know, it's the way things are. So, but in this case, it's just the whole team just stinks to high heaven of all sorts of crap. It's on that, all the, you know, all the money coming in and just buying everything up, and it's this kind of whole thing that they're doing with Mbappe, which is, you know, it's a fight. The guy wants to leave, but it's like a fight to keep him there, almost against his wishes. Although he'll say, I do want to stay. I don't want to. At this point, he's just trying to be a gentleman about it, that he doesn't want to leave and leave on bad terms. But you know, people are already booing him and all sorts of crap. I mean, it's like, you know, let him leave. The guy doesn't want to be there, you know. Let him leave. Have him come home. Come home to Madrid. All right, guys. I think I've said enough. So that's everything I got for you today. This was actually the intro song, but we'll keep this one out for the outro. So anyway, guys, that is today's episode. You remember you can catch us on Instagram at YNM Podcast. You can also catch us at on Twitter at Inada Mas Podcast. You can catch us on Facebook at Inada Mas Podcast and on our website at info. Our email is info@inadamaspodcast.net. Sorry, info@inadamas.net, and our website is inadamas.net. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can find the video podcast here on YouTube. So Inadamas on YouTube. So you can find us everywhere, guys. And if, of course, once again, I always ask you, please, politely, guys, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please do not forget to drop us a rating, to drop us a comment, tell us how we're doing. You know, I've gotten some hate there too. People saying, you know, it sucks. He doesn't know anything about football, some shit like that. I don't know. Yeah, when you get haters, you know you're making it. So, but you know, if there's something you want to see, if it's not 5 stars and you want to give it 4 stars, you want to give it 3 stars, you know, tell me why. But at least give us a rating, tell us how we're doing, throw us a comment. That helps us rise up in the ranks in iTunes, and it really helps us, you know, get more visibility on the podcast, more ears on the podcast. Make sure you also subscribe to Real Madrid Hub, which is where I'm doing daily news with my good friend Jota Real Madrid. So subscribe on YouTube to Real Madrid Hub, and then also subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of the video episodes of the podcast, which is Y Nada Más Podcast. Check us out on YouTube and subscribe there as well. Thank you very much for listening, guys. So happy to continue this. I'm so happy to be in another season. It's just starting, and we're all excited to see where the season takes us. And I'm confident. I think things are going to go in a really exciting direction. I think it's going to be an interesting, nerve-wracking season again. But I don't know. I think good things are on the horizon, guys. A la Madrid always, and let's do it. See you later.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.